Do you feel the world is broken?
We do.
Do you feel the shadows deepen?
1, 2, test 1.
There you are.
I don't think we need that. This is piano. Kenneth, be sure I didn't just turn you off, if you would, please. That's Alex, I think. Yeah, I think it is. Okay. If he doesn't come, you're familiar with these screens.
You turned him off.
I did? That's what we were hoping. I've been trying for 6 years to do that. Kidding.
Keep playing.
Welcome. Good to see you. Good to be with you in this time and enjoy this service with you. I want to be talking about bread, and I told you about a slice of bread. What would a slice of bread mean? When we've been going through some of this isolation with COVID, and when we've been watching much of the turmoil in the United States and in other countries in our world these days, we've seen suffering and we've seen deprivation. We've seen loss of life. We can only imagine, most of us, the large-scale deprivation, loss of life, and suffering that was World War II. At the end of World War II, across Europe, they set up what we would call today perhaps orphanages, or certainly shelters for children that were left on the street, homeless or without parents or abandoned or lost, and they would house these children and feed them. They discovered something. Even though they had a full, warm place to stay, they had loving care of those who were there, and they had plenty to eat. The children weren't sleeping well in the night. They were insecure. They would toss and turn. They would, some of them, cry. A psychologist finally made a suggestion. He said, "Why don't we give each child a piece of bread? And they can hold on to the bread through the night. Tell the children they're not to eat that bread. If they're hungry, there's more food they can have even in the middle of the night. But tell them the bread is a reminder that tomorrow is provided for." Jesus, in this great prayer, model prayer that he gives us, tells us that we are to ask the Father to give us our daily bread. And they noticed with those children that when they held the bread and went to sleep, they were calm, at peace, at rest. The writer said that reminded him of the 23rd Psalm, that very first line, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And in this time of difficulty, can you give him your wants? Can you thank him for meeting so many of your wants? Can you trust him as your shepherd? He teaches us in this prayer to pray and ask for our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. You see, God desires to give. And it is God who gives us our daily bread. You may work all day and sweat, or you may have an office job, or you may be at tasks that produce money for you and income. But we all need to be reminded it is God who's the provider. In the Old Testament, of course, we have the Ten Commandments, and one of those commandments is, remember a Sabbath day to keep it holy. Set a day each week when you don't work for your living, when you aren't dependent on your own hands, your own intellect, your own efforts, and you recognize it is God who is the master and owner and provider of all. You see, literally, if they did not work one day, it probably meant they didn't eat, at least not much. Because each day they had to go out and get what they were going to eat or prepare it and have only what they could prepare that day. But it meant they would trust in God. It meant they would not rely on their own efforts that day. We need that. We need to be reminded that it is God who gives us our daily bread. Our efforts are certainly worthwhile, and obviously they go into the production of our income. But the point is, all of it starts with God. I'll talk more about that in a few minutes. But everything that comes into our hands is provided for us by God. And so, give us this day Jesus teaches us to pray for today. Now, I like to pray for the future, or I like to think about the past, but Jesus wants us to be in today. I heard a phrase in January, and it stuck with me ever since. It said, you stand where you sit. Really, what the person was saying was that where you sit, in other words, in your political or in your leanings or in your beliefs, that's where you sit. And when you stand and live, that's still the same. And another man said it this way this week that I heard. He said, live in today. Be in today. Being where you stand. It's easy to look ahead, or it's easy to regret the past, or it's easy to wish you were somewhere else. But Jesus is saying to us, live today. This moment, this hour. One man said, if you go to bed and you still have your cell phone in your hand, you might as well get up and get dressed because you're still at work. Can you rest? Can you leave it in God's hands? Can you be present in the moment with God? That's what he's calling for here in this prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. For most of the people around Jesus in his time, it was matzah bread. And when we serve communion here at church, we use matzah bread. It's unleavened bread. It was bread of haste, it says. It was bread that was synonymous and used as a term like we do, meaning food. In the 1960s, bread was a euphemism for money. Do you have any bread, man? Yeah, man. That meant he had money. Bread's important, isn't it? Our daily bread. Give us today our daily bread. By the sweat of your face, God said to Adam and Eve, you shall eat bread until you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken. You are dust, and to dust you shall return. God said, as long as you live, as long as you eat bread, you will do so by the sweat of your face. In other words, you'll work. You'll have to provide. God will give you the help, but you will need to provide for your life. Bible bread images. In the Bible, there are many images of bread. Manna from heaven, of course, is the one that we think of most often. Remember, the manna was promised to the Israelites as they were in the wilderness led by Moses, and they were hungry, and so God said, each morning there will be manna like dew on the ground. Some writers have said the word manna in the Hebrew literally means, what is this? Have you ever looked at breakfast and said, what is this? Sometimes I feel that way over my Cheerios. But God said on Friday night, gather enough for the Sabbath. But on any other night, when you gather too much, it will rot before morning and you'll wish you hadn't done it. Because each day he provides what you need for the day. And then, of course, we think of Jesus feeding the 5,000. I love the story where Philip actually brings the little boy to Jesus. The little boy has 2 fishes and 3 loaves. Remember that? Jesus breaks the bread and hands it out, and as he breaks it, there's more and there's more and there's more. And one of the writers in the gospel says there's 12 baskets left over. But then, of course, the image of bread that we think of most often, perhaps, is the Lord's Supper. What does it say? Jesus taking the bread and breaking it after he had thanked God, said, this is my body broken for you. His body is the bread. Jesus tells us, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? What a great point, isn't it? We get wrapped up in what we eat or what we wear or how we look. I'm tempted to say some of us are really wrapped up in food and some are more wrapped up in clothes, but we all just get too preoccupied with these material concerns, Jesus says. Don't worry about your life. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? It really is. He wants us to think on that. He wants us to ask God for the daily bread. The simple phrase seems so clear. Give us this day our daily bread. Yet it has been debated ever since Jesus said it. The debate goes on. What is our daily bread? And what does he refer to? What does Jesus mean by our daily bread? And I mentioned already the Lord's Supper. And this prayer historically has always been prayed by the church in the serving of the Lord's Supper. We'll pray it tonight as we begin to receive communion after the message. And then there's spiritual bread, the Word of God. We're to feed on the Word. We're to read the Word. We're to drink in the Word. Three different times in Scripture, they are commanded, the prophet is commanded to take up the Word and eat it like honey from a honeycomb. This is a prayer for doctrine, that we get the essential truth to be found and taught in the Word. It is for food for the mind and heart, and I would go another step and say it is the speaking of the Holy Spirit into our lives for what we need for that day. He is there to speak into us, to feed us from His Word, that we would live in the truth as He is the truth. And then, of course, Jesus Himself is the bread. Jesus said, "For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." What a great image that is. The bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven, gives life to the world. Then there's a Jewish idea, and I threw this in because it's really kind of unique and we don't hear about it very often, and I liked it. But there is a banquet in heaven in the book of Revelation. As you know, when we gather with Christ, there will be a tremendous banquet. And this was a prayer that Jewish rabbis would teach, that you should pray for your daily bread, meaning you're praying for entrance into the kingdom of heaven and celebration at the banquet. You ever get those wedding invitations and say they're plus one? That means there's dinner afterwards, doesn't it? And here's your invitation. Jesus is saying, ask God for your daily bread, meaning ask Him for the invitation to the banquet. It's a one-of-a-kind prayer. It's daily bread. Now, the Greek word doesn't appear anywhere else in any writings, and for many years, it was a little bit confusing as to what exactly the word meant. It doesn't appear. And then finally, in an Egyptian grocery list of all things, a woman writing her notes about what she needed to pick up on papyrus, and she listed the items she was needing to get, and then she said, "For this day," and using that word "day," we finally found the confirmation we had translated it correctly all these years. I thought that was kind of special. It's a daily prayer. It's for this day. It's an ordinary prayer. It's a petition for our daily needs. Give us this, the things we need to eat. When the children come in from school and the family comes home from work, grant that the table is not bare when we sit down together today. That's really what the prayer is saying, that we would have what God has for us today. So let me mention some truths to live by. There's four here that I want to point out. The first one is that God cares about our bodies. He cares about our life. Our physical life is important to God. Jesus spent tremendous amounts of time feeding people and healing people so that their bodies could be whole. Our God didn't come just to save our soul. He came to make us whole, save our whole person. And so God cares about our bodies. We pray for physical healing. We believe in the Church of the Nazarene and anointing with oil. We keep anointing oil right here close to me at the altar at all times in case someone wants to be prayed for healing. We believe in eating. We do that quite often, don't we? We also believe in feeding the world. About 35,000, last time I heard, 35,000 children get a hot meal a day through Nazarene feeding programs, much of it in Haiti. And we give God thanks, but we need to do more. Over 820 million people in the world are in hunger all the time. And for some of them, it's very critical. We want to be part of the answer. Because I want you to notice something. This is a prayer that we are to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. This prayer gives God His rightful place. All that we have, we receive from God. Now, prayer works with our efforts. You shouldn't work without praying, and you shouldn't pray without works. They go together. In other words, God gives the seed, the earth, the climate, and the rain, but we must cultivate, tend, harvest, and produce the bread. My first pastor, it was said, in the middle of wheat fields. Wheat fields as far as the eye could see, and in this time of year, July, end of June, the wheat is golden, and you see it all about the same height across thousands and thousands of acres. I've stood out there on the edge of the fields when they were harvesting and the dust was flying, the machinery is huge, and the trucks were burdened with wheat going to the co-op to be stored and later shipped out and sold. I've also stood on the edge of those fields when the hail has come through. A farmer looks at me with a sad lament and says, "There's my year's work, broken, irredeemable, lost." God intends for us to work. He's not saying here, "Give me bread with no work." He's saying to us, we pray and ask God to help us achieve, accomplish the bread that we need for the day. Give us our daily bread, not give me my daily bread. This is a communal prayer. It's us together. Give us our daily bread. We pray for each other. We care for each other. And we ought also serve and heal and help the hungry and each other. There's a prayer that I want you to learn, and we're going to be seeing it. I'm going to be publishing it again in the updates and in other times and services and talking about it. To me, really, it's a contemporary or a today version that we need to pray of this one phrase from the Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." Look at it with me. It's from Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9. "Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise I may have too much and disown you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God." I was hearing this week that one of the most difficult places to be in life is to have too much. The people that have too much tend to become very morbid and sad and empty because they realize in all the fame or all the money or all the popularity, it really doesn't meet the inner needs of the heart. It really doesn't satisfy who we are in our spirit. And so here, Solomon prays a great prayer. Solomon is extremely rich, as you know. But he says, "Keep falsehoods and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God." This is a prayer of humility. It's a prayer of getting it just right. Not too much, not too little. Doing what God calls us to do with prayer and works to provide. Well, we're going to have communion in a couple of moments. I hope you've gotten your elements ready, as we encouraged you to do at the beginning of the service, and that you're ready where you are to partake. As we enter into it, I want you to pray with me the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father." It doesn't have the last part that we've added through the years in this Matthew version. It ends sooner than you might think, so watch the words. But pray with me, if you would, out loud, right where you are. If you're alone, if you're in a group, just be bold and speak it out loud. It'll bless you to hear yourself say it. Say these words with me. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation." And then we normally say, "For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray. Father, as we come into communion, we thank you again that we have the bread. The bread which became holy, sanctified by the prayer of Christ and the giving of his body for us. We thank you that as we eat the bread, we are reminded of your love, your giving of your life. It cost you everything, and you did it for us. And so we praise you. We know we're not worthy to receive it, Father. We know it is a gift beyond measure, beyond any estimable value. And so we are filled with gratitude. And we give thanks from the depth of our being. Guide us in these moments, we pray in Jesus' name.